Did you know that the Pop Culture Preservation Society is on Patreon? Patreon allows you to support our work by becoming dues-paying members of our society. We are an independent, women-run endeavor with a commitment to delivering the highest quality listening experience to our community. And so we've taught ourselves how to record, edit, and produce a podcast in midlife, a time when most of us are asking our kids how to regram a TikTok, so that we can deliver episodes that truly speak to you. Support from PCPS patrons means that we can devote more of our time and resources to the content, sources, equipment, software, hosting, and research that you've come to depend on without worrying about how to pay the bills. So thank you. We appreciate you from the bottom of our bell-bottomed hearts. Hello and welcome to another light and refreshing episode of PCPS Light. These are our hiatus episodes that we're bringing to you while we're researching and recording and preparing the next season of episodes. Mm-hmm. In the past, we've brought you encore episodes during this time when we're doing the heavy duty lifting of producing this podcast. And this time we thought that we would create something smaller and more manageable for us. So that you still get a little bit of us in real time, but we don't have to do all that heavy lifting, like I just said.
We're winging it.
Yeah, totally winging it. And the funny thing is,
this is like PCPS improv.
Yeah, it is. And it might be a complete failure. maybe you'll all stop listening. We'll find out. And the funny thing is that this is what we thought when we started this this podcast. This is what we thought we were going to be doing. We thought that we were so hilarious that we were just going to show up in front of the mics and everything that came out of our mouths was going to be so entertaining that you all would show up. Yeah. And we did that exactly one time. And we were not funny.
And that I believe that footage still exists somewhere, that audio.
It's out there. Uh-huh.
And it's sort of like the video my husband took when I gave birth to my second daughter. Ugh. I've never watched it because I just can't. I'm like, yeah. I remember enough of how mm-hmm. horrible that experience was and how embarrassed I was. And I was yelling such profanities to the doctor and then apologizing, of course. But I was like, also just things I remember that I said, and I cringe. That's exactly how I feel about that lost first episode that never made it to air.
And I remember as we were recording it, we're speaking words and I'm thinking, this is a shit show. This is terrible.
Not only did we just think we were going to wing it, but we had like nicknames and I can't see. I'm so embarrassed. I'm turning red.
Chair yes. And all of that. And I came flying in because I had just heard Randy Van Warmer on the radio when I had like pulled into the parking lot. So I couldn't wait to share my Randy Van Warmer story.
That was going
to
be a topic.
Kind of sang. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's so embarrassing. So suffice
you're
it
welcome,
to say.
You're welcome, people, that we didn't.
The 230-something episodes since then that we spend hours researching and writing. And then, yes, most of our conversations are organic conversations, but we always have something to fall back on. We have notes. And
we
that
have
all
notes
of a sudden,
and research.
And research. Yeah. And that mm-hmm. felt so much more comfortable to the three of us and because we're writers at the end of the day. And so that just felt all of a sudden that's when we like hit our groove, we're like, oh, yes,
we realized that we needed outlines. We needed to create something. So what you hear, like Michelle said, is very organic, but we plan in advance what we want to bring to the mic.
Right.
So that doesn't really make this whole little PCPS light experiment make a whole lot of sense, does it? But yet, here we are.
Particularly this episode. Yeah.
Here we are.
Okay, so what makes it light, one of the reasons that one of the things that is going to make it light is that these are going to be shorter and we are going to set a timer for each of these episodes. And when the timer goes off, we have to stop talking. That is the rule. Because what happens to us when we come to the table with all of our planning and our outlining and our notes and all of the things that we want to say is we will sit there for hours and we will just keep on talking. And that means more work for Carolyn in the editing booth. Mm-hmm. So in order to make this a true hiatus, we have to keep them short so that Carolyn can both edit these little episodes and come to the mic with all of the research and everything that we do while we're recording. So we're kind of multitasking right now. Okay, so right now I'm setting the timer and go. Okay, so here's what we're going to do today. This is really going to be a throwback for us because it is going to be an example of what we thought each episode would be. And that was that I was going to come to the recording with a lunchbox, my Hardy Boys lunchbox. You can hear it a little bit. It's a little sonic experience for you right there.
That's some good ASMR.
Yeah, ASMR. That's the handle of my Hardy Boys lunchbox. In this Hardy Boys lunchbox is like maybe 100 little pieces of paper. I'm serious. And on each piece of paper is like a conversation starter. And we thought that I was going to draw a piece of paper out of this Hardy Boys lunchbox and we would extemporaneously speak eloquently and hilariously about whatever is on that little piece of paper. So that did not work when we did it the first time. We were like, not funny. But because this is PCPS Lite, we're going to try it today. And see how it goes. Thank you for being our guinea pig.
All the reasons this is going to suck. I know, but here we go.
Here we go. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
I'm
going to stop for just a second.
Yeah.
Only because if we put this video up, you might be mad if I don't tell you that you have something on your chin.
I do? Oh my God, I do. It's probably a booger. What is it?
It's not a booger. It was like
a piece, like a thread, it was like white or fuzz or something.
My French teacher in high school, she was hilarious and she would tell stories in French. And on picture day, she comes in and she's talking in French about her picture and she's like miming the whole thing. And then she points to her nose and she goes, yeah, she's miming. And she points to her nose and she goes, un bougre. Dans mon nez, un bougre. What? On picture day, she was saying that there was a booger on her nose in her school picture. And she only found out, like, after she got her school picture taken, then she went to the bathroom and she found un bougre.
Oh, nobody told her?
No.
Oh, man. No. I hope they fix that in the edit booth before.
No, there's no edit booth in the class pictures.
Or they airbrushed it, maybe, or something.
Not back then.
Not then.
No, not then. That's for our children. You could pay extra to get the pimples out. Airbrush the pimples. I did that for my kid. Yes, I'll pay $10 to pretend he doesn't have acne.
Oh, but then what does that say to your kid, right?
I know.
That
says, it's terrible.
It says thank you.
Okay, are we ready now for the Hardy Boys lunchbox?
Yes, now we're ready. Yes, your booger is gone.
So here's my Hardy Boys lunchbox. I'm opening it right now. Here's more ASMR for you. There we go. I'm going to draw right now a topic out of the lunchbox.
Oh, no. I'm worried.
And if it's a bad one, then we're just going to draw again.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Here is the topic. Okay. What child star with curly ponytails died tragically of a drug overdose, even though Kristen's mom would tell her it was a car accident?
Yeah, that was Anissa Jones. Is that how you say her name? She was Buffy on Family Affair.
Buffy.
Wasn't it A-N-I-S-A?
A-N-I. I think it was two S's. Anissa. We're not sure how to say her name. There you go. That was the topic.
See, are you guys glad we didn't do this?
Okay, here's another question for you. Which million-dollar selling toy was not manufactured in a factory but picked up off the ground from beaches in Mexico?
That's the Pet Rock.
Yes,
that's the Pet Rock.
Yes.
And it only cost him, fun fact, because we just shared this on social media. So when I was writing the caption, I did a little research because I forgot that we talked about this in our 1976 episode. But the Pet Rock, he spent 4 cents a rock. And even though the Pet Rock was only really a moneymaker for about 8 months, 9 months.
It was like months.
He made millions of dollars because he could sell them for like, I don't know, I forgot how much it was now, $5.99 or something, $4.99.
Yeah.
But he only spent 4 cents for each of them.
The question is, how did he convince us that we needed one?
Well, I wonder if the way he convinced us is the same way he thought of this idea when he was just sitting around with some friends and they were all, he was saying like, I don't want a pet. I'd rather, like, I don't want to have to feed a pet or play with my pet or pick up after my pet. And so he's like, we should just have a rock that can't, you know, it's your pet, but you don't have to feed it or anything like that. So probably that was the marketing angle they went with. Like, this is a fun pet. You don't really have to take care of it.
Or maybe that was the pitch to parents. Like, your kid's begging for a pet. Give him a Pet Rock. Like,
yeah, here I got maybe you so. I don't think I had an actual Pet Rock. Like, I don't remember having the branded Pet Rock.
I didn't. I definitely did.
This and is I not had funny. To have it. You guys, this isn't good. No.
But it's we're learning our mistake from the beginning.
Okay, okay.
Okay, so I'm going through the lunchbox right now. And remember that we did this before any of our episodes were ever released. Now we have 230 plus episodes. That's a lot of knowledge. There are things now that are considered common knowledge, both to us and to our listeners, but they weren't at the time.
This is true.
And so here's a question in here that is going to make you mad. It's so simple. But 5 years ago, it wouldn't have been simple.
Right. Right.
What TV theme song sung by John Sebastian went to number one in 1976?
I would not have known that 5 years ago.
No.
First of all,
we wouldn't have known who John Sebastian probably was.
No, we wouldn't.
Exactly. And now we feel like he's our godfather. He's our uncle. But we know what song that is. We know that it's the theme from Welcome Back, Kotter.
Right.
We love it.
It's an anthem of our generation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody who listens to this podcast knows who John Sebastian is. We're going to take credit for that.
Yeah.
Because we didn't even know who that was. I mean, maybe we kind of knew, like, oh, yeah, Love and Spoonful, is that who that is? But it wasn't core curriculum. Right. Now it's core curriculum.
Remember, I thought that Boom Boom Washington sang it, or was that?
Oh, I did. Yeah. That's right. I thought Boom Boom sang the song.
Lawrence Hilton Jacobs.
Yeah.
But I think that's a really good point, Kristen, to remember 5 years ago when we were, because we're coming up on our five-year idea anniversary.
Yes, we are.
The five-year anniversary of when I had the phone call with you guys is the end of August, and also Carolyn's wedding anniversary. Yeah. And that's the five-year mark of when this idea bloomed. And the reason, if you remember, is because we couldn't stop talking about all of these pop culture moments. But to think about how much we didn't know 5 years ago, how much we've educated ourselves on all of this research we've done for every episode, the tremendous amount of research. This has been like school. I mean, we have taken this seriously. Yeah. And we have studied as if we're going to be tested on it, which we kind of are when we get in front of the mic, right? We have to we have to know our stuff. But it is kind of funny to go back and think of these types of questions that we didn't know. We didn't know who John Sebastian was.
Right.
I would not have known the answer to that question 5 years ago.
We would have had to think pretty hard, and nor would our listeners either. There's another question in here this is the same kind of thing, where we were digging up something from the past that was so long buried that people had not thought about it since 1976, and we were going to bring it to them on a silver platter. But again, this is core curriculum. This Russian gymnast had 7 perfect scores and won 3 gold medals at the Montreal Summer Olympics and had an entire musical theme named after her.
Yes, I know. Right now I'm like shaking my head like,
right.
Oh, please. Like, right. But at the time we would have felt really like important going, I think I know. I think I know who that was.
Yeah, nobody had said the name Nadia Comaneci for 40 years. Before we were pulling it out of the Hardy Boys lunchbox.
Probably her husband had, Bart Connor.
I love Bart Connor. That whole...
Okay, yeah, will you help me? You guys, what is the pommel horse move that is named after possibly Bart Connor, but maybe somebody else? It's the Planet Fon.
Oh, yeah. It's a... oh, my God. Okay, this
not
is
the
a good
Fosbury
question
flop,
now.
But it's like, it's something like that.
But I was going to say the Hamel Camel, but that's
skating, right?
Right.
That's skating, and that's a totally different Olympics and skater. But I know exactly what you're thinking of.
I know. It's right on the tip of my tongue. It's not the Bart Connor swing, but it's somebody's name with alliteration on the pommel horse.
I'm going to the Googles, and then I'm going to give
cheating?
You guys clues. No, because I'm going to give you clues. I'm not going to...
Okay.
I'm going to pretend.
Because, and
like,
the reason this is related to pop culture history is because I learned it in gym class when we had our gymnastics unit. So this would have been like an 80s era gymnastics thing that we all had to do. And I remember very, very specifically Mrs. Kilkuski, my gym teacher, saying to all of us, because we were terrified when we walk in and we see the bars and the pommel horse, and she's like, I will not make you do anything that I would not do myself.
Okay.
Like, oh, thank you, Mrs. Kilkuski.
I have it. I'm going to tell you that it was not Bart Connor, if that helps.
And it's not Mickey.
Do you want me to tell you who it was?
No, I want to try to remember their names.
Wait, but didn't you love Mitch Gaylord?
Yes, I think we talk about that in one of our episodes. I think we did.
What's the movie? American with Jenny. Not Jenny Garth.
Jennifer Jones.
Jennifer Jones.
No. Yes. But no, this, no, but Chris, from, like, but Carolyn. 50s.
Yes. I know all
this. It's also Wayne from
Gretzky's,
the 90s.
Wayne Gretzky's wife.
Yeah, Janet.
Oh, yeah, Janet Jones.
Janet Jones. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Okay, she, yeah. Okay. It's also a gymnast from the 1976 team, male gymnast team.
Okay.
But it's not Bart Connor. Mm-hmm.
Well, and Bart when you hear it, you're going to go,
yes, and you're going to be able to picture it.
No, those guys were okay, all in the 80s. Okay, so I'm sorry. Okay. I'm just correcting everybody. Okay, 1976. Yeah. I don't remember a
I
lot
might
of
need
the
initials.
Guys.
Can I have initials?
Hang on 1 second. Yes, you
is
can.
The American?
K-T.
Oh, what? Oh, Ken, Kyle. It's Tom. Kurt Thomas.
Kurt Thomas. Is that it?
Mm-hmm. It is Kurt Thomas. Yes. And what did they call? And I'm going to describe it because you're going to.
Okay.
He, like, at the very end, it's the way he gets off and his legs are like scissored, but then they go up and down.
Both of his legs are going like this.
Yes.
And then if you guys are watching on YouTube, I'm going making my legs go. And then they go whoop and they kind of go whoop. And
now, are you just remembering that, Michelle? Or is it telling you that on the Googles?
No, I just saw. On the Googles, it showed a little clip of it. And I was like, yes, of course I remember.
Yes, that's exactly what I pictured.
That's the dismount, and that would be called the Thomas Tuck, the
Thomas
Scissor.
It's not alliteration. There's no alliteration in it.
Mm-mm. Is it flip?
Very close. It's same letter as flip.
Thomas
flop.
Thomas it's flop. Actually not on the dismount. I'm watching it again.
Oh.
What? There he goes again. Okay. His legs are going
to
go, and his legs go up, and then he goes back down. It's called the Thomas Flair.
Flair. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Okay. I'm sure I did not. My legs did not go up in the air. I thought it was just the swingy part. Thomas Flair.
We just had to hop over it.
Sorry.
We just had to go around it.
We didn't do anything on that thing, I don't think.
No pommel horse?
We did the one where you ran and...
Oh, that was the vault. We had to do the vault.
Yeah, the vault.
Oh, yes. And bounce on the little bouncy thing.
Do you guys remember in the gymnastics unit in gym, like you're talking about, here's the things I remember the most. You had certain things you had to do, like skills that you had to do to get like a pass. Mm-hmm. And on the vault, it was called the squat through. You had to go and your hands were on it and you did like a little tuck and your legs had to go through. And then I remember on the beam, I know. And then on the beam, you had to do the walk, the dip step.
Dip your toe dip, down. Point your
step,
toe.
Dip.
Yep.
Dip on each step
side.
on the beam. Mm-hmm. And another thing on the beam is you had to do where you stood up on your tiptoes and you almost like did a pivot turn
Then
you had to go the opposite way.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those are two that I remember. And we did have bars too, but I don't know that we had
bars.
To do anything.
We had to go from the top to the bottom. And so there were some people who were gymnasts and so they would swing and then let go and grab the bottom. But those of us who were not gymnasts would do this thing where you're holding onto the top and then you put your feet on the bottom one, and then you take one hand and put it on the bottom, and the other hand, and then you put your hip bones on the bottom.
Yes.
Like you would do this thing where you let go of your foot and then put your hip bones on the bottom. Check the box.
And
you got it.
I remember doing stuff on the parallel bars. Do you guys remember doing anything on the parallel bars where you had to swing?
Okay, there's another name. There's another person's name.
Yeah.
Okay, we might have to do some more Googling. There's a thing. Oh, skin the cat. You had to do skin the cat.
Oh, I
you guys
know
are looking at
it.
Me like what?
But yes, I do remember
was
where
how
both,
you get off.
Both arms are up, and you had to use your core to lift your body over one way to the middle, over to the other way, the middle.
Yeah,
yes.
That sounds really hard too.
Oh my God, I don't have any. Like at that time, I didn't even know I had a core. It just operated.
Yeah, we just did it.
It was just called stomach muscles.
Yes. It was just my stomach.
We didn't call it core. They didn't call it core. They just called it your stomach muscles. Like tighten your tummy. Probably for me, it was like tighten your big tummy, Schmidt, or something like that.
That hurts.
Well, the PE teachers were mean.
Yeah, we talked about that. our trauma, mm-hmm. PE trauma episode, we could refer to. Lots of people had really awful stories about really awful PE mm-hmm. teachers.
There you go. Talk about fireable offenses. Gym teachers should have all been, I'm not going to say all, a lot of gym teachers today would be fired for the things they said and did to us in, you know, 1970 to 1985, yeah. basically. Wah, wah.
Way to bring us down talking about
okay,
gym.
Do you want me to pull something else?
Okay, let's do one more.
Box?
Let's do one okay. more and let's see if it's first as quite of an engaging conversation.
Again,
as the last one.
Part of the core curriculum. And we can talk about it again, but it's just showing what babies we were 5 years ago when we were talking.
Hey, PCPS friends, it's Carolyn here. Did you know that I'm turning 60 this year? And to celebrate, I'm not buying a Trans Am or reliving my Aquanet years. I'm participating in the Chicago Marathon. And now before you picture me in one of those old Jane Fonda workout tapes with leg warmers and a sweatband, don't worry, I'll be wearing proper running shoes. Here's the real reason I'm doing this. I'm running to raise money for Down syndrome research through the Lumind Foundation. My inspiration is a very special little guy, my friend's grandson, baby Leo. Every time I lace up my shoes, I think of his smile. So here's where you come in. Just like we all chipped in for concert tickets or showed up with our quarters for Pac-Man, I'm asking you to show up for me and for Leo. Every donation, no matter how small, moves us closer to breakthroughs in Down syndrome research. You can find the link to donate in our show notes or head to the PCPS socials and click the link in bio. Help me make my 60th birthday about more than miles. Let's make it about love, hope, and the Gen X superpower of showing up. Because just like we learned from the Breakfast Club, we're stronger together.
What is the biggest selling poster of all time? I'm not even going to tell you what year.
And I probably wouldn't have known that 5 years ago.
No,
I would have had to really think about it. We mm-hmm. know Carolyn.
You probably would have guessed. But, well, of course, it's iconic. And it's one of the only posters my husband owned and was allowed to hang, or I guess he was allowed to hang it up because he hung it up. But yeah, that would be Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah, yeah. And that's core curriculum Beautiful. Now. Yeah. Of course, duh. And I think it's interesting how many people were allowed to have the Farrah Fawcett poster. Like, why was Andy allowed to have that? Now, we do talk in our 1976 episode about how it is literally quite chaste.
I know why.
Exuding sexuality at the same time.
Well, yeah. And we say it, I think one of us says it in that episode, but I'm going to say it again. I think the teenage boys or the young boys were allowed to have it because then the dads were like, I got bedtime tonight, honey. I'm going to read the bedtime story tonight, honey. Or, you know what? Son, let's go have that talk in your room. You're in trouble for not taking out the trash, but we're going to go have that talk in your room. Everything was in son's room. Son, you want me to make your bed tomorrow? I'll make your bed tomorrow for the week, son. I gotcha.
And it was in that liminal space where it can go in the kids' room. So it's not like dad is hanging up a sexy poster in the garage that's overtly right. meant to titillate. Like they always say that's the difference. Like what is pornography? The definition of pornography is that it's intended to titillate. I don't know if it was intended to titillate. I don't know.
Oh, no, it's so beautiful. It's not.
It's
yeah.
beautiful. It's beautiful. And sure, there are some nipples in it, but... She can't help that. It's cold.
That's right. She just ran. Remember, she just ran in and grabbed a bathing suit. It was like so unplanned. The thing was so spontaneous. The whole photo shoot. It was just crazy. And I want to draw a little comparison to we talked about Farrah Fawcett as a Charlie's Angel. We talked about her as the poster girl. And then we went on and talked about when she was in the burning bed and really brought out her dramatic skills. And it reminds me of right now we're seeing Pamela Anderson. I just saw a picture of her with Tommy Lee, like back in, whenever that was, 90s. I'm not good with my dates. And then now on the red carpet with Liam Neeson because she's in The Naked Gun 2. And good for her. Like, I'm just so glad. I talk about reclaiming as we did in another episode, but she just really has so much more to offer. And then she, then just this image that the people we portrayed allowed her. On yeah. Baywatch or whatever, when she wore her right. red bathing suit and blopped around. It's just, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. I'm glad that
when she was the Tool Time girl originally. Remember when she was the Tool Time girl on?
That's right.
And everything mm-hmm. was about her boobs and, you know, on Baywatch. And, you know, she was in Playboy, I don't know how right. many times, but she truly, I like how you, Carolyn, just kind of said reclaiming. We were talking in last week's episode about Monica Lewinsky's podcast called Reclaiming. That's really good. She should get Pamela Anderson on because I've been, there was a doc or something. Was it a doc I watched on Pamela Anderson? Did
oh,
you
yes.
see it?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
And that's basically what she's done with the whole, like she's gone back to, you know, she gardens. She's redone her grandmother's place up in Canada.
Doesn't wear
that's
really
beautiful.
Any makeup. And very natural.
No makeup. Not, mm-hmm. not really. She, mm-hmm. yeah. she completely doesn't. And she is happier. She looks beautiful. She feels more authentic and more fulfilled in her life. And isn't it kind of cute right now? The
yes.
whole Liam Neeson and
adorable.
Pamela Anderson little romance
yes.
they've got going on. It's
it
so
is.
Cute. Yeah, and good
for it
them.
Goes back to that intended to titillate thing. Like she is reclaiming her place in the world where she's not intended to titillate. I don't have
right.
to titillate you all the time.
Right. And I've got
mm-hmm.
skills.
Before, that was her role.
Right. And
yeah,
I deserve
exactly.
to be on your screens. Like before it would, yes. you know, you almost thought like, oh, she's only on here because she's got big boobs and jiggles or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like she doesn't have any skills. That's what we were meant to think. And she deserves for us to watch her perform and because
right.
she's a great artist and good for her.
And she's got things to say. She's
yes.
got a lot to say.
I couldn't believe this past year, however many months ago the Academy Awards were, but I mean, she showed up on that red carpet at the Academy Awards. Zero makeup. I mean, she probably yeah. had some, you know, concealer, some like moisturizer or something on. And I just loved it. I loved her look. I loved her beautiful dress. Her hair was still done. And because that's how she now is like, this is, yeah. I so want to shed that image and that part of my life. And this is how I feel beautiful. And this is how I feel authentic in my
yeah.
own skin right now.
And she did and, look
God,
beautiful.
Good
and doesn't that speak
oh, yeah.
to like, you know, she kind of has this glow about her. And honestly, like yeah. if we are leaning into these things that bring us joy, that fulfill us as individuals, I think there's a consequence of that in the way we look and carry ourselves and mm-hmm. that we have a glow about us. Like, can't you all see it on YouTube? Can you all see
100%.
It all glowing on the
I know.
Screen? But seriously, I think that when you're doing that kind of stuff and living what you feel is like your, I don't know, your mm-hmm. passion.
Your true
shows.
Self.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it comes out. And I also wonder, you know, because she has embraced this no makeup thing so hard and she has sold, when I don't mean sold in a bad way. What I mean is she's embraced it and she's putting it out there mm-hmm. front, right? This is who I am now. And I just wonder, in addition to her being her true self and wanting to live that way, I wonder if she had to do something so drastic to make
Good
people
point.
Pay attention to her without looking at her
You're
boobs.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. maybe if I go completely clean face, no fake eyelashes, I'm not that person. Because truthfully, she could have – nobody goes out there without makeup.
Right.
I mean, we do. But I mean, celebrities on the red carpet, nobody does that. Nobody.
Not on the red
and
carpet.
So if,
no.
Not on the red carpet. And so if she did do that, how much would she have to shout to make people listen to her words?
Yes.
And so maybe by doing this, she's saying, words, please. Yeah. Pay attention to my words.
Good
and
point.
I wonder if she consulted, you know, publicists or PR people to say, how do I make people listen to my words?
Mm-hmm. That's a yeah. really
and it's
good
working.
Point.
And we love it.
Speaking of her, too, her I don't think it's that recent. It might even be a year or more old, but her cookbook is beautiful. Absolutely
oh, is it
beautiful.
I didn't even mm-hmm. know she had a cookbook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all it's one of those books
story.
That's like cookbook plus other stuff, like,
okay,
you know,
right.
like beautiful photographs. And it's like on her farm.
Mm-hmm. That's so great. I mean, 25 years ago, would I have purchased a cookbook by Pamela Anderson? Nope.
No.
I mean, I would have been like,
yeah.
what does she know about cooking? This is ridiculous.
Exactly.
Now I'm like, I might have to go look for that cookbook.
Well, and
yep.
she wasn't relatable to us, you know, like we
right.
were, we couldn't put ourselves in the same category as her. We put her in a category as for men, right? She's
right.
not for us. She's for men. She doesn't have anything to do with me. Oh my God. Now we relate to her.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are the
yeah.
same.
Right.
You, and
yeah.
I think that's what she wanted. She's like, I'm one of you. Please regard me as such.
Yes.
Yep.
And now we'll buy it's your called, cookbook.
That's right.
I was going to tell you. It's called I Love You by Pamela Anderson, Recipes from the Heart. Mm. And it was actually just this past October, like October 2024.
Oh, it's pretty new.
And it's absolutely beautiful. Wait, you guys, just Google it. You know what? We're going to put a link in the Weekly Reader this week, too. Because the photographs are beautiful.
Our shop, our bookshop.org.
We're going to put that in our bookshop.org shop. And I just want to remind everybody that this is one way that you can support us. Yeah. We have this little shop on bookshop.org. It's a platform that supports independent booksellers, and which also helps support authors. And so when we have a little collection there, if you buy using our links, then we get, in addition to giving money to independent bookstores, we also get a little bit of money. So this is a way that you can help support us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Great idea.
Yeah. It's the best place to buy.
Speaking of supporting authors, let's not forget Miss Kristen. I mean, it was only a few weeks ago, you guys, that we had the party of a lifetime. And I just want to thank Kristen for letting Michelle and I be a part of it, because it was one of the highlights of my summer. And how is all of that going, Kristen? Book sales and book stuff.
So just to recap the book launch party that I had for the Scott Fenwick Diaries on July 22nd, it was so freaking fun. Yes. It was so fun. And you may have seen highlights of it if you're on our social media. I posted a highlight reel. You guys, the Pop Culture Preservation Society posted a highlight reel. It was a book signing like no other. There, we didn't just do a reading. Michelle and I did reader's theater. And then this is connected to the book. I promise you this is connected to the book. And then we decided to do a karaoke version of The Lonely Goatherd from The Sound of Music without practicing.
That's right.
Right. It is comedy at its finest.
Comedy?
It was so funny.
Let's just say that the three of us, when we have an idea like that, no matter when it actually comes to fruition, no matter how much we realize, this might not have been a good idea, we commit to the bit. We go all in, the three of us. And we sang and yodeled and danced. I think at one point I was skipping in place. Yep. I don't know where that came from.
Yep.
I had had a couple little plastic things of wine, but it only probably was one glass by then. So yeah, I don't need wine though to act like that.
No, that's the thing. If anything, we use it to bring us down a little bit from that. But that was so fun, Kristen. And what else? What is there any other book news we need to let our listeners know about, or we need to know about?
I was very, very busy. I'm not very, very busy right now, but I was incredibly busy. The day after the book launch, then I got in the car and I drove to Chicago for a book festival. And that was super, super fun. And then I got in the car and I almost drove all the way home, but I couldn't make it. So I had to stop in the Wisconsin Dells, and that's a story in and of itself. I'm not sure if you don't follow me on social media, if you've never been to the Dells before, I'll just give you the highlights. So I can't make it all the way home to Minneapolis. I stop in the Dells, which is like a carnival atmosphere in the middle of Wisconsin.
It's like,
I don't know how to describe
water
it.
Water slides, lots of water slide hotels,
so many
lots
water
of
slides,
duck boats on the river, and
yeah. And so I get a hotel room and I walk across the parking lot to a restaurant. And on the front sign, it says train delivered food. I'm like, what in the hell is train delivered food? Well, it turns out that yes, indeed, inside this restaurant is a train and your burger is like sitting on top of the train. And as it goes by, you grab your burger. So it's super funny. The servers wear shirts that say, sorry, I tooted.
And I couldn't enough there. For me. There's some good wordplay. Yep. I'm there.
Sorry, I tooted. But it was like a 2-hour wait to sit at the train table. So I went to the bar. So I sat at the bar and I ordered a drink from a stormtrooper. And then for 75 cents, you could pay Darth Vader 75 cents and he would turn on a laser show. I do not know what is the intersection of trains and Star Wars.
Yeah,
I don't know.
What's the name of this place?
It's called Buffalo Phil's. And then
Buffalo Bills, but it's Buffalo.
Nope,
yeah, but also that has nothing to do with Star Wars. Okay, keep
going. Nope. I don't know why Darth Vader was charging people 75 cents for the laser show. I don't know. Why was the stormtrooper there at the bar? I don't know. I have no idea. And then I went back to my hotel and three Amish ladies get off the elevator carrying ice buckets. And I'm looking at them going, can they drink? Can Amish people can't drink?
Well, they can have water. They can have ice water, ice in their Coke. That is a lot of ice buckets.
Can they have Coke? I don't even know if
maybe
they can have Coke.
Maybe someone had an injury from, like, I don't know, pushing the buggy.
They fell off the wagon.
They fell off the buggy.
So then I come home from the Wisconsin Dells, and I'm supposed to get on an airplane to go to a book event, to a book signing event at a little tiny bookshop in Northern California. And there was, and I was so excited about this, you guys. I have to tell you, this bookstore is so adorable. It's teeny weeny, and it's in this idyllic setting, and I was so excited. And there were people in Northern California who were, like, waiting for me to come. And I just had this feeling in the back of my head that something was wrong. Something is wrong. And so I keep checking in with the owner of the bookstore, and she says everything is fine, but still I have this feeling in the back of my head. So finally I'm like, Kristen, just ask her the questions that you're worried about. I said, do you have the books?
I mean, that's
please
I feel like that is the most
you
obvious.
You have the books. Yeah. And it took 30 seconds. There was a reply in my inbox, and before opening it, I could see it was paragraphs long. And I'm like, this is not good if there are paragraphs long. And the first line says, I feel like I've failed you. And it turns out she had not ordered the books for my book signing. So I have nothing to sign. There are no books. And I had to remind her, I'm like, you know, I live in Minnesota. I don't live in California. Mm-hmm. I had to buy a plane ticket. I had to get lodging. I had to rent a car.
Rental car from San Francisco.
I had to board my dog. And some of that is refundable. Some of that is refundable with a penalty. Some of it is not refundable. Mm. And so I'm nursing my wounds a little bit right now. There's a lesson learned here, and the lesson to be learned is trust your gut.
Yes.
I was not trusting my gut. I was not listening to the little voice in my head that was like, I don't think that this is going to go the way you think it is, because I wanted it so badly. Right. I think I wanted it so badly that I was ignoring my gut feeling, which is that this isn't happening the way you think it is. Okay. So I pick myself up. I dust myself off. It's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. But if you were planning to come to that little bookstore in Northern California, I'm really sorry, but I will be back. I promise you, I will be back.
And we're going to go with her next time.
Yes, so for sure. For sure.
To that little bookstore, or should we pick a different one now?
You know what? Everybody should shop there. Please go there. It is really adorable. I probably won't do an event there. But it is really cute. I can't blame her. I should have listened to my voice. Yeah. But now that we're a few weeks out from the book launch, the book came out on July 22nd, this is a good time to remind people what you can do to help an author. And the number one thing that you can do, besides buying my book or requesting it at your library, the number one thing that you can do for me now, because I know a lot of you have purchased it because you're telling me, the thing that you do now is you get to leave a review online. And that helps me tremendously. And let me tell you why. Because there are two ways that people decide what books to buy. The first one is what their friends tell them to buy. And the next one is looking at reviews online, wherever you buy books online. Even, you know, the big bad one that I don't like to talk about, but I have to be honest about the fact that I'm dead in the water if I don't sell books in that place. Mm-hmm. It's a harsh reality that I don't like to talk about, but it is the truth. And you can leave reviews in that big bad place, even if you didn't buy your book there. In fact, it helps me a lot if you do. Uh-huh. Here's how this works. On the big bad place, if you don't have very many reviews, then the big bad place doesn't show your book to people. But if you get first 50 that reviews, they're like, all right, we'll show your book to a few people. But the magic number is 100. When you get 100 reviews in the big bad place, they're like, fine. We'll tell people about your book. And then it will pop up in the places where it says, you should also look at this. You should buy this. And so that's what I'm needing right now from my friends and family out there who are reading the Scott Fenwick Diaries. If you like it and have something to say about it, that's how you can help me.
I can't believe we haven't hit the timer yet. Did you put it on 30?
24 seconds. Okay, this is going to be great. Okay. We're going to be talking, and it's going to be, and the timer is going to go off.
Okay. So talk.
Don't forget, there's also places like Barnes & Noble that you can leave reviews.
Goodreads,
for sure. Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And tell friends and everybody, too. That's another important one. Spread the word.
It's super helpful to me.
So good. Yeah. It's not like we're telling you to tell them that liver is good.
Oh, you guys, hello? That's our timer. We have to stop talking right now.
Okay.
Telephone.
I'll get it.
That was it.
I miss that sound.
I know.
I do too. I know. You guys, that was fun. We pulled it out. We thought we were huge failures when we first started pulling things out of the lunchbox.
Yeah.
But I think we pulled it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
All righty.
Yeah. And, you know, who knew we were going to end up, this episode was going to end up being about Pamela Anderson.
That's what's so fun.
Right. I love that about these unscripted conversations. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So thank you for putting up with us. We're going to be doing this for a few more weeks while we get our new episodes ready for you. In the meantime, what happens in the meantime? In the meantime.
Let's raise our glasses. Let's raise our cans of Pepsi Light, our bottles of Pepsi Light.
That's right. Crack
them out. Talk about a menopause moment.
Seriously. I'm like, what do we do in the meantime? Let's raise our bottles of Pepsi Light for a toast, courtesy of the cast of Three's Company. Two good times.
Two happy days.
To Little House on the Prairie. Sorry.
Cheers, everyone.
New things. Cheers.
Did you know that the Pop Culture Preservation Society is on Patreon? Patreon allows you to support our work by becoming dues-paying members of our society. We are an independent, women-run endeavor with a commitment to delivering the highest quality listening experience to our community. And so we've taught ourselves how to record, edit, and produce a podcast in midlife, a time when most of us are asking our kids how to regram a TikTok, so that we can deliver episodes that truly speak to you. Support from PCPS patrons means that we can devote more of our time and resources to the content, sources, equipment, software, hosting, and research that you've come to depend on without worrying about how to pay the bills. So thank you. We appreciate you from the bottom of our bell-bottomed hearts.